Blog Talk Radio.
The broken clock gives a comfort. It helps me sleep tonight. Maybe it can't stop tomorrow from stealing all my time. And I am here still waiting, though I still have my doubts. I am damaged at best, like you've already figured out. I'm falling apart, I'm barely breathing, with a broken heart that's still beating. And the pain, there is.
Well, I know everyone has been talking about whether Hillary Clinton is possibly too old to run for president in 2016. And at 67, she would be 69 if God forbid, and that's me interjecting there, she were to actually win the nomination for president. And there's been a study, evidently by the CDC, which I thought was very, very interesting. That is the Center for Disease Control. I have no idea why they're projecting this study, but evidently they have projected that Hillary is very likely to live to be 86 years old. So we're in the clear, you know, if that's, you know, where we're headed, God forbid, and I certainly hope not. And if anybody's guessed why the Center for Disease Control has been doing this study all these years, I have no idea why that would be. But and all I can say is maybe, just maybe, this will give Hillary some kind of time, God forbid, if she were to be elected, to accomplish something while in office. And that's not what we hope happens, essentially. We would like to see a conservative in office for certain. So, but thank you for listening to Graceland this evening. I'm your host, Jennifer Meadows, here with our very prestigious panel. We've got author Curtis Mang, radio personality Charles Johnson from KWAM 990, and any moment we're going to have Lisa Richards from, she is writer and also a radio personality, used to be on Rock and Roll Politics. She's now on our show. So Lisa Richards will be joining us any minute, I am sure. So Curtis and Charles, you know, get into this study here, the CDC study, thoughts about, I just thought this was so strange. So we've got the Center for Disease Control is making these projections about how long Hillary will live, but evidently they've been doing this since JFK. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting. Did y'all see that today?
I did not see that, but I would suggest that they didn't quite get it right with JFK.
No. See, that just goes
right
to show. And I hate to say this, but you know, hashtag HIT happens. It just, you know, crap happens, and so you can't ever tell.
Yeah, neither.
You know, you can just.
Neither did they get it right with Reagan. You know, Reagan's one of the oldest presidents that we ever had, and he did. He was an excellent president. So, I mean, you know, you really can't put a lot of stock into it, whether they go young and miss or go old and miss. I mean, you know, of course, there's just no way to predict life or life outcome. So, I mean, I don't put a lot of stock into the study or whatsoever. I think the CDC should have better things to spend the people's money on than trying to predict how long Hillary Clinton's going to live, in my opinion.
it was very interesting. Go ahead, Curtis. And I've got something I was going to read about how they came up with this, how many years she was going to live. But go ahead.
Well, I love hearing that, but I would just suggest that perhaps the CDC might want to do a study assuming Hillary would win and study exactly how sick the rest of America will get.
Exactly. Yeah, I just, it didn't seem like something you would think would fall under CDC. It just seemed a little odd, but evidently they have been doing this study for many years. It goes back to JFK. So I don't know. Just the whole thing seemed very odd. But it says they factored her gender, potential age at inauguration, year of birth, as well as the fact that Clinton, she would actually have to be alive upon taking office. And I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, we got Joe Biden in there. Nobody really knows for sure about him, but we think so. It says those same factors were used to project life expectancy for McCain and for every president going back to JFK. So I don't know. It's very interesting. And, you know, here's the thing that I'm noticing is they want so much, and we have Lisa Richards. I'm going to welcome her into the show. It's so clear. Hey, Lisa, are you with us?
Hey, we're
talking Hi. About life expectancy and the fact that the CDC is doing this study and has projected 86 years for Hillary Clinton. And so, you know, she's in the clear if she wants to, you know, run and whatnot. And here's the thing, guys, all of you. I mean, it's so clear who the candidates are being offered up. It's like, okay, they want Hillary Clinton to be our next president.
Okay,
that is
now,
so
what, how old is she now?
Clear.
How old
she
is she now?
She's 67.
So basically, Jesus is coming back in 19 years. I just wanted to make that clear. And he's coming back for the devil in 19 years. Well, he's coming back to fight Satan, so I just wanted to know when, 19 years.
Exactly. Yeah, and so, I mean, that's the thing. She's 67, and they said she would be 69. God forbid if she actually, you know, became the you know, actual nominee for president. And was, I think, the same age as Ronald Reagan coming into office as well.
Right. And I don't have, you know, I would not have a problem with the age. It's her policies. It is her Marxist beliefs. I would not care if she were 80. I really don't care. If somebody, Ronald Reagan's age did not bother me. His policies were fabulous as governor. He stuck to it. He stuck to it. He held to it. The GOP did not want him as the nominee. They fought right to the primaries, and it was because of people like us who said, no, we do not want George H.W. Bush as president. We do not want anyone else that you're trying to put on the ticket. We want Reagan. So it was his policies. I would not care if Hillary Clinton was going to turn 70 or 75. It's her Marxist policies. It is
Amen.
What she stands for and believes. That is the problem. The same with Barack Obama. If he were a constitutional conservative and a Christian in his beliefs, and he believed in upholding the Constitution and I would have said, you know, I think I could overlook the Democrat I'll vote from. This guy's really a conservative, and he wants to uphold the Constitution. He's for lowering taxes. In fact, he's a fair tax guy. So I'll
right.
give him a
yeah.
break. I'll vote Democrat. No, it's the policies.
I agree, and I think it's the policies and not just that, but the fact that, and this is what everybody's been ridiculing Hillary Clinton about, the fact that she has no accomplishments. And let's talk about this just a minute before we move out of this topic.
Actually, she does have accomplishments. She helped murder four men in Benghazi. So let's just come out and say it. She was part of that. She, Obama, Valerie Jarrett. Who gave the stand down orders? I'm going to assume Valerie Jarrett, since she kept giving the stand down orders concerning Osama bin Laden. But still, everyone else went along with it, while General Carter Ham wanted to rescue them, and he was physically grabbed and removed from his position and not allowed to send in the troops. So Hillary has blood on her hands. She has Benghazi. That's a fabulous accomplishment, Hillary.
Well, and that's a, you know, good that you brought that up, because that's a huge black eye for Hillary Clinton. So, Charles and Curtis, what do you guys think? Do you think all this ridicule about her accomplishments, I don't think she stands a chance. I don't know who the nominee. We've got Biden, and we've got a couple of other names that are circulating here, but I just really don't think this is going to... She doesn't have a chance, I don't think. But what do you think? Is this going to hurt her chances?
Well, she's not going to run on accomplishments as it concerns Secretary of State. All she's going to do is distance herself from Obama's policies. All she's going to do is say, look, I was a team player, but I didn't agree with the president here, here, and here. And so she has some plausible deniability there. As Lisa indicated, Benghazi and that whole fallout and debacle and, of course, her statement, which, of course, got played all over the place. What does it matter anyway? What does it matter?
Yeah.
Let's move on. Okay, so that clip's going to get in a political ad. That's going to hurt her. There's nothing from her tenure as Secretary of State to help her. There are no accomplishments. There are no significant accomplishments. And Benghazi is the legacy of her tenure as Secretary of State. And as more information comes out about Benghazi, as the investigations get deeper and deeper, and as more things are uncovered, you know, she's not going to be able to run from it, not even as she runs for president. But so she's going to pivot on her career as Secretary of State and use plausible deniability, distance herself from Obama's policies, especially as it concerned Russia and the insane statements he made to Mitt Romney in the second presidential debate, the Cold War, 1988 called, they want their foreign policy back. Statements like that, she's not going to even wade into those waters.
Well, and Curtis, you know what? I think all this negativity is starting really to diminish. She was kind of, even though Benghazi, it wasn't sticking until just recently. Somewhere here in the last month and a half or so, it's finally all this negative press and the fact that everybody's ridiculing her about the fact that she has no accomplishments. I think this is finally starting to damage her as a candidate. But what do you think?
Well, I found it very interesting that when the question was asked of the State Department spokesman the other day, her response was essentially, we'll get back to you. And
exactly.
if they can't think of something off the top of their heads that Hillary accomplished as the Secretary of State, digging deeper is not going to find much either. The one thing that they do tend to say about her accomplishment is, well, she logged hundreds of thousands of miles. Well, if that's the accomplishment, then you could surmise that she contributed to global warming with her giant carbon footprint, I guess.
There you go. And Michelle Obama, you think about how much traveling she's done over the last number of years now. She'd be a perfect candidate as well under that guise, because she's been all over the place and just came back from China. So,
also forget that Hillary Clinton wholeheartedly embraced Yasser Arafat, a man who was a terrorist, that man massacred Jews and Christians. She was not only good friends with him, as well as Bill Clinton, she embraced his wife, Suha Arafat, right on camera and hugged her and kissed her and then turned to the cameras to say that Jews were poisoning Palestinian children. Not true. But these anti-Semitic remarks, she's not a Christian woman. And if we just continue electing people to the office who are not Christian, we are just going to see our country get worse and worse. We have prayer taken out of everywhere, yet we have a First Amendment, but we Christians do not have the right to say the name of Jesus in public without people gnashing their teeth. And would Hillary be any better? No, because she is part of all of that, and she has embraced terrorists, Yasser Arafat, one of the worst in history, and she embraced him. And people forget about this. People also forget, about her record as a first lady and co-president. And good grief.
I know. And there's so much, if you go back to the Clinton administration, people think about the economy a lot of times when they think about the Clintons, but there were a lot of other things that were done as well. And so, guys, let's move into our next topic. Before we do, I've got a quick announcement. It says, we've been telling you about that conservativenationmedia.com is making some changes, and they start on May 6th. That's when Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance moves to Tuesday. Tennessee's issues are spreading out all over America, and Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday, so make sure you check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, moving to Tuesdays, May 6th. That's right before our show on Tuesday. That's Grit and Grace on Tuesday. So it'll be May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And, guys, we got just a minute. I want to kick off this discussion before we go to break. And I'm probably just going to introduce it, and then what we'll do is we'll come back and talk about it. But, I've been very passionate, moving into our next topic, about this whole Bureau of Land Management and this land grab. We've seen what's been going on in Nevada. And I'm telling you, it was not last week. It was the weekend before. I was just riveted to media watching what was happening with the Clive and Bundy family and the ranch and all these people coming in from all over. And I really thought, my gosh, this is where it's going to all start. This is where the war is going to start. And thank God, we were spared. And all these people rose up and showed up in support Clive and Bundy. And so pretty much a major victory for Americans, major victory for the Constitution. And, Harry Reid has made his little pronouncements of this is not over. And so we're moving on now. We've got land grabs going on in Utah and also in Texas. And when we come back, I want to talk about what's going on in the state of Texas and specifically about comments that have been made by the Attorney General of Texas. He's kind of challenging the federal government. He said, you want to take this land from Texas? He says, come and take it. That's what he's saying. So let's talk about that when we come back. Let's get a word from our sponsor. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The broken clock.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Been looking for an online gathering place? A familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party Community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party Community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I was shed with you when we
we are back. I am your host, Jennifer Meadows, here with author Curtis Meng and another of my co-hosts, Charles Johnson, radio personality Charles Johnson. And joining us this evening is writer Lisa Richards and friend of the show. So I'm glad that all of you guys could be with us this evening. And we've been talking a little bit about what's been going on with this Bureau of Land Management and the land grab that's been going on in Nevada. Well, all of that's shifting to Texas, and now we've got 90,000 acres that belongs to Texas citizens, private citizens, that the federal government is saying that it's going to go in and seize, and the Attorney General of Texas is basically questioning that and saying, you know, under what power are they going to do that? And he says, I'm about ready to go to the Red River, which is in Texas, and raise a come and take it flag to tell the feds to stay out of Texas, he says. And so, you know, he's basically questioning their authority and over this whole thing. So guys, you know, what do you guys think? Why is all of this going on right now? We were in Nevada, you know, and now we're into Texas. There's also stuff going on in Utah as well. So,
well, let me say this. I think it's endemic of government bureaucracy in general. Even those that might be well-meaning, although we haven't seen many of those recently, but it's an inherent problem with government bureaucracies in that they always want to get bigger and they always want to be more powerful. You know, that's just the nature of government. So I think this is an episode where the BLM is flexing its muscles a bit. You know, at issue, it appears to be the border along the Red River between Oklahoma and Texas. And there's some dispute there. Okay, fine. But, you know, I liken it to when, you know, two siblings are arguing over the same toy. You know, eventually the parent will step in and take the toy away from both of them. But in that instance, the parent will eventually give the toy back. I'm not sure the BLM has any intention of giving land back once it confiscates it.
Oh, heck no. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And so, you know, why is all this going on right now? And I agree with you. You know, that's the inherent nature of government, is just to continue to get bigger and bigger. And so now we are seeing the federal government, and some of this happened much earlier. You know, it was 70 or 80 years ago. There was an act that basically enabled the federal government to come in and seize lands. But, you know, why is all this going on right now? And what do you think, and we've already kind of seen this with what happened in Nevada, and we found out about Harry Reid and his little deal with China and how they had a solar plant planned. But is that what we think is going on with all this land grab going on all over the West? Is it to give it to foreign interests? Is that what's going on?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, it's about power. And it's about the federal government exerting power over the states. And that's why I was especially encouraged to see the Texas Attorney General's response to a possible federal land grab in Texas. You know, you want to grab land in Texas, you come and get it. And that's the attitude that the states have to take. Like when we examine the Bundy Ranch case and we look into the Nevada state constitution, it actually acquiesces the land to the federal government. So on the legal argument of the Bundy Ranch ordeal, he's actually wrong on the law. As far as the Nevada state constitution, it does acquiesce those lands to the feds. Is that just? I would argue no. And I would argue that there's more of a moral issue to stand on than a legal issue. And that's why I applaud the efforts of those patriots in the Bundy Ranch case, because we've got to stand up for these unjust things that are in the law. I think that Nevadans should get together and you know, amend the state constitution, strike those provisions out of it that acquiesces that land to the feds, and take a stand that Nevada's land should belong to Nevada. I think it's the most absurd, you know, idea as far as the federal government owning, like, what is it, like 80-something percent of the lands and in the West. I think it's ridiculous, you know, outside of public parks or, you know, tourist attractions, you know, things of that nature, you know, federal land, you know, protections, you know, that's fine. But they shouldn't own 80% of it. I think that's absurd. And if the federal government owns most of the land in your state, what kind of a state do you have?
Exactly. And, you know, that's a good point,
too.
Really not a solid
state. Yeah.
You're right. You're right, Charles, because if the states in, you know, America, in the United States, don't actually own the land on which we sit, you know, if, you know, Mississippi and Tennessee and Connecticut and Arizona, if we don't own the land with which our states sit, then are they states? You know,
right.
It brings up a lot of questions.
States?
No, they become nation states. Now, the Nevada Constitution is violating the U.S. Constitution, which upholds and protects every single citizen's right to own land. You've got the money to buy land. You have the right to buy it, own it. It's yours. The federal government, under the U.S. Constitution, has no right to own land, has no right to be in the real estate business. So the Nevada Constitution is violating the U.S. Constitution, and Charles is right. The people of that state have got to come together and abolish that law because it is breaking the law of the land that was set up to protect us all so that we all have what is inherently actually God-given at, hello, it says so in Genesis when God said, I'm giving man dominion over the earth and everything in it. Yes, God owns it all, but he gave us dominion over it. He said, I'm giving mankind dominion over it. He never said, I'm going to give government dominion and allow government to allot the people. So owning land is our God-given right. God gave it to us to take care of it, and he gave us the ability to take care of every part of it. The Constitution upholds and protects that. The federal government has no right to own the land. Even Andrew Jackson saw this and said, back then when he was president, he said the federal government has no right owning any of this land that they own, and he went and he sold all of the federal land to the U.S. citizens and said, you do what you want with it, you farm it, and he took that money and he paid off the national debt 100%. Gee, I wonder if they were to sell the land back to us, can you imagine we would pay off our national debt? Because you are talking about, Now, there is something going on. I was listening on a local station here in Connecticut where there is southern land that the federal government wants. It's worth $10 trillion, this land, and they're saying because there were plantations on it at one time, and there is oil beneath this land. And now the environmentalists and the Democrats are saying, well, this land must be confiscated because technically oil drilling and oil use and putting gasoline in your cars, anything, that is equal to the slavery that blacks endured. And I'm listening to this and I thought, really? That is equal to whipping and beating a person to death, drilling for oil. Give me a break. This all comes down to now the $10 trillion worth of land. I think we could pay off the national debt if the federal government sells us back land.
Now,
but they want
Lisa
to confiscate this land because it, let's face it, I said this last week on your show, you can have $10 million in the bank, but technically it's really not $10 million because we don't have a gold standard or a silver standard. We have no commodity standard. We're just a fiat. So real wealth is in owning land and your home. That is wealth. The government knows it. The government is enriching itself by confiscating land, and they are land grabbing. They are going in every all 50 states. They are land grabbing, and they are even using the excuse it should be open space because if you live on it, you'll destroy it. That is not true. That is not true.
Well, and
people,
you know, and Lisa, you know, we've seen this over and over again for decades now. We've seen environmentalist groups, just like what happened on Clive and Bundy's land. You know, oh, you know, we've got to save this desert tortoise. We've got to save the spotted owl, the quail.
There's
you name it. I mean, it's ludicrous. You know, so now these environmentalists, you know, it's just nothing but a ruse to go in and thwart business. And so, I like what you're saying there because I agree with you. And we talked about this last week when we were discussing this exact case there in Nevada with Bundy and the Bundy Ranch, that this is it's Agenda 21. You know, they want to run us up into these little bitty communes. And so we'll all be living in some kind of high-rise, I don't know. In fact, I had a guest on my show. It's been a couple of weeks ago, was telling me how big these properties were going to be. It's already been decided. It's something about the size of a parking space for a family. If you're a family of four, you might get something the size of double that. So you might 400 something square feet or something. It's insane. So we're going to have the entire United States is not going to be owned by the American people.
Think about what that really is. That's called ghetto. Now, the federal government did that to black Americans. Lincoln is shot, so now we don't have Lincoln. We have the Emancipation Proclamation, but he's assassinated. So now we have someone in control who's pro-slavery. You know, we'll give you a certain amount of acres and a mule. Big deal, because not long after that, what comes in? Segregation. So your land doesn't do you very much good if you're segregated from your townspeople, and then you're going to be forced to sell up your land, or you have Dixiecrats coming in because they're angry that, an Emancipation Proclamation, but even segregation's not enough, so let's go and shoot these people off their land. So then what does the Democrat government do? I know. Let's be kind to black Americans. Let's build housing projects and tell them this is good for you, so you'll have a home to live in. But look at what that is. What is
exactly
it, about 700 square feet that you force people to live in? And you say,
right,
this is because of slavery?
Lisa,
no, it's not. It's because of Democrats' hatred toward one group of people. But they do want to do this to everybody. But because they lost out on slavery, then they tried segregation, which did run people off land in the South. That they lost out on that when the Republicans said, when a Republican Supreme Court said, we're going to pull a stunt on you, and I'm glad the Supreme Court did that. We're going to use interstate commerce as a way to abolish segregation, because we're going to tell you that, well, if you don't have all Americans being allowed to sit in restaurants and hotels in any type of public place, you're going to lose business. That was very smart on the Supreme Court's part. But
exactly.
The whole thing of
And I agree with what you're saying there, because I think, you know, that, and then, you know, what I was thinking about, and I live in an area, and Charles and I do, lots of Indian territory. You go back 100 years, this area, Mississippi and Tennessee, big time Choctaw, Chickasaw area.
Yeah.
And you've seen what's happened to the Indians. They just continued to get moved off the land. You kept seeing them run to the west. And you know what? It's happening to Americans now. Mm-hmm. We're now getting moved into little sectors where we can't afford Yeah, we can't afford to stay on our... Okay, so here's my question, and we're going to have to leave this and go to break. But what do you think is going to happen with this? We're seeing federal government coming up against the private citizen, going up against the states, just like what happened here. The Attorney General in Texas was basically challenging them. They're saying, he's saying, I'm not going to take this. We're going to fight it. We're going to fight it. So you know this is probably going to a federal court. So where do you think that, guys, and I'm going to give each of you a second before we get a break, where do you see this going? And I'll start with you, Curtis.
Well, I think in this instance, the BLM has a run for its money. That I think Texas being Texas won't back down. And so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think it will be a real challenge for the BLM to make their case, not only in court, but in the court of public opinion. So we will see. And I just want to make one other statement. You know, we're talking about the federal government and how much land it owns in the western states. And I just thought of an analogy, and I liken it to Al Sharpton's wardrobe. Al Sharpton, who doesn't own any of his wardrobe, but he has access to it.
Okay.
All right. I like that. Okay, Charles, okay, what do you think? How does this thing, is it going to play out? What do you see going on here with the BLM?
Well, I mean, listen, until the American citizens as a whole stand up and educate themselves on what's going on right under their noses, nothing's come of it. I mean, it's going to continue as is, because when you look at the majority of the citizens of Nevada, yeah, they don't care what's going on with this situation. I'm talking about, you know, they're too busy going to Vegas or, you know, going to the Bunny Ranch or what have you, trying to get legalized marijuana. I mean, they're not really focused in on the implications of what's going on and why it's important that Nevada owns Nevada. I mean, if Washington, D.C. owns Nevada, it's no longer Nevada. Nevada's not a sovereign state anymore. It's a subsidiary of Washington, D.C. And that's what Washington, D.C. wants to do to as many states as they can. But until the people wake up, until the folks begin to care about who owns the land that their house is sitting on, who owns the land that their business is sitting on, you know, who owns the land that their cattle graze on, in this case, you know, it's going to continue business as usual, and they know it. They know that they can get away with it because they know people are either ignorant or don't care to be informed, you know, as long as the chicks keep cashing, life goes on. And unfortunately, by the time the chicks are no longer good, it's going to be too late. So,
yeah, I completely agree, because, you know, that's exactly what Curtis said too. You know, until it's being played out in the court of public opinion, and I think a lot of the public's not really paying a lot of attention. People are just now starting to kind of wake up to what's happening. They're like, you know, I have noticed a change. What's going on, you know, with this kind of stuff? And I was here in Oxford, and I was getting my hair done and was talking, and she knows I'm into politics. I try not to bore people. But she's like, oh, I saw that. You know, there was a standoff, and it was by the bridge. You know, I didn't even know what was going on with that. And she was asking me, you know, what was going on. And I really believe that's where a lot of Americans are. Unless you're really hurting and you're really searching for answers, what's happened to our economy? Where is my job? Why don't I have any money? I think most Americans are not paying attention, so I agree with that. So, Lisa, now we're going to get your answer to this about the BLM land grab. When we come back, need to take a break real quickly right here, and then I'm going to get your answer on that as well. But we will be back. You're listening to Graceland here on Conservative Nation Media with Jennifer Meadows, Curtis Meng, Lisa Richards, and radio personality Charles Johnson. We will be back in just a few minutes.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Military is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Military offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Military at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Military, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Military at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Military, and thank you for your service.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backwash.
When
I grow up,
I want to be a bike that races around the
country.
When
I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want
to
be
a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
I'm your host, Jennifer Meadows, and please feel free to call in and weigh in on the discussion at 718-305-7176. And tonight we've been talking about this Bureau of Land Management and their land grab out in the western states, the western part of the United States. The interest has shifted all of a sudden from Nevada to Texas, and so we were just about to hear from Lisa Richards what she thought. How is this going to end up? I mean, of course, we can't know, but I kind of think it's going to be taken up in the courts, and that's where this whole thing is going to be decided. But what do you think, Lisa?
Yeah, it'll be taken up in courts. You'll have more standoffs, and you're going to have standoffs. And Charles is right. People are not paying attention. People are more interested in what an ignorant snot like Justin Bieber is doing. I really don't care. What about your own states? You know, anyone can lose their home and land if your town decides your property should be open space, and they get enough of your neighbors to say, oh yeah, we should have the rights to be able to walk in your woodlands. Why do you have to have all that? We've also got the class warfare thing going on. But when you see the government confiscating so much land, start looking back 150 years to Ireland when England decided to confiscate so much land and push the Irish out. And literally did by the millions, and you had half come to the United States and the other half go to northern Italy because the English government said, you can't have your land. It's ours. It's going to belong to us. It wasn't until after World War I that you had the Troubles and the Irish that were there rose up and said, you know what? No. We want our land back. And then over the decades... you know, through the up to the 60s, 70s, even 80s, you had Americans of Irish descent who went over and said, okay, this is where my ancestors are from. I'm buying back this land so it stays in my family, and my relatives over here can have their land back. They can live on it. Let's not let it get to that point, because that's what
exactly
governments do. And look, I mean, the Irish now have their land, and land that was confiscated was bought back by Americans of Irish descent who said, we're going to go, even the Kennedys, we're going to go back and buy back our ancestors' land, and our relatives who live over here, they'll live on it so that it's still family land. Let's not let it get to that, people.
No, and Lisa, I mean, that's it. We don't want to be held hostage to the federal government. And this is, and you guys have all kind of reiterated this, this is about the sovereignty of the state and being able to stay separate from the federal government. And so, you know, it's going to be really interesting, and I can't wait to see what happens. And thank God we are starting to see some serious pushback from the states, number one, from militia groups, you know, all those radical militias. Oh, my
God.
But we
have to push back in our town.
They're so radical. But you know what? I think the average American citizen is starting to wake up. Now, the Justin Bieber, you know, lovers, they're going to always be, they're going to be out
there.
But
that's all, but people pay too much attention to junk. They are not paying, they are more caught up with it. Okay, if you're so worried about your job and loss of money, if you have property, you are in good standing. Even if you don't have much money in the bank, at least you own something. My grandparents always said, land, you've got to have land, you know, because you can run out of cash, but at least if you have land and then you have some kind of job that pays your bills. People have got to stand up, even in their local community, and push back.
Well, back in the old days when people used to grow their own food and used to be self-sustaining, God forbid, you know, we can't go off the grid these days or the state will come after us. But back in the old days, you could be self-sustaining and have a farm and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, the United States government certainly doesn't want us to do that. Now, we don't have too much more time, so let's get into this Supreme Court decision. I was very excited to hear about this, the 6-2 decision, this vote by the Supreme Court that was upheld earlier this week, and it was about a Michigan case, affirmative action for college admissions. And I want to kind of get Charles in on this early on here. And basically, you know, we understand where affirmative action came from. This was, I believe, and help me out here, Charles, if I'm getting this wrong, but I think it started under JFK, kind of widened under LBJ. And then, you know, basically it started out maybe as a good idea, but, you know, I don't know. So why don't you give us a quick little snapshot of the history of this, and then let's talk about has anything good come of affirmative action? And I have my opinion. Let's do a roundtable on that. So, Charles, why don't you talk about the history of this?
Yes, and I want to definitely start out with the history, because a lot of people don't know this has been all executive orders and court cases. That's it. I mean, that's how fickle, how thin this thing is. That's why liberals get all in a tizzy about court decisions, because there's actually no law behind it. It's almost like abortion, you know, and quote-unquote, you know, women's right to choose. I mean, it's all court cases. So, you know, so that's why they get all in a tizzy about the next court case, because there's no actual law enforcing it. But, you know, when we get into the history of affirmative action, it starts as an executive order by President Kennedy, as you pointed out, to introduce equality to federal contractors and, you know, so that, you know, African Americans got an equal shot at contracting, for example. When it goes into education, you got court cases for that, you know, white women being equally represented in institutions of higher learning. You know, it stretches out to apply to African Americans, but, as, you know, and as it has gone down, court case after court case, is going back to the 2003 court cases is when, you know, affirmative action begins to get significantly chipped away at. That was the end of your racial quotas. Before the 2003 case, literally institutions of higher learning, med programs, law programs, they literally had this certain amount of seats for blacks. And so, you know, we got 10 seats for blacks over here. And if you're white, you're just out of luck. You're going to get rejected because we got to have blacks in these seats. You know, the Bakke case changes all that. And it's been chipped away, and this may be the final blow. And even the fact that it was six to, you know, the fact that you had six justices coming down, six or seven, I think it was six.
I know, it was, it's surprising. I swear, I couldn't believe it's a 6-2 decision.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Yeah. That's right, 6-2 with one recusal. But the fact that you had six justices come down on a block, really sends a message, I think, to affirmative action all over the place. And it's encouraging that the vote of the people, because this was on a vote of the people to end affirmative action in Michigan. This was the people's vote. And the Supreme Court, you know, for change, I mean, comes
down. I know,
down,
my God, they upheld it.
People's vote. Yes, they upheld the people's vote. I mean, isn't it amazing?
Stop
so,
the
you know,
presses, man,
hope.
I tell you.
There may be hope for this court yet. You know, look, the people of Michigan have every right to decide whether or not they want affirmative action, and that's what this is going to boil down to. You know, people are going to be encouraged to put affirmative action measures on the ballot, and once they get on the ballot and the people have confidence that their vote's going to be upheld, so you're going to get good voter turnout, the politicians will begin to weigh in, and this can finally be decided as it should have always been, which is by the vote of the people and ballot initiatives. Look, affirmative action has been all executive orders and court cases. You know, never the vote of the people, never the will of the people being allowed to weigh in. And so as we begin to get to the place where people are going to be able to decide this as it should be, I think that's a hopeful sign for our republic. And we should not be moved by executive decisions and court cases. It should
be the
vote, the ballot, and the will of the people.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen, and that's what they stated in their decision, that this was going to allow states to decide, you know, as far as admissions, you know, what they wanted to do, you know. And so some may decide for affirmative action. Others may decide, you know, we don't need that. And that's the way it should be. You know, the states should be able to decide that for themselves. So let's talk real quickly now that we kind of know a little bit about more, and Charles was good to tell us a little bit of the history there. So let's talk about affirmative action. Let's step back for just a minute. Has this been a good thing or not a good thing? And let's start off with Lisa, and then we'll move to Curtis, and then Charles, and then I'll close out.
You know, I think it is one of the most insulting laws. It says, you are too stupid to make it on your own because your skin color is black, so we will give you the job. We'll get you into college. You can't possibly make it on your own because your skin is black. Now, if you're white, you could have. That's what it says. It's like, come on. Nobody is too stupid to get ahead. That is not true. If anybody is having a hard time with whatever skill, you... Hey, I stunk at math. I got D's in high school. So what did I do when it came to college? I never got above a C+ or a B-, but I got it in my head, go to the bookstores, get every Math for Dummies book, and just keep at it. Keep at it, you know, because a C+ is better than a D. And keep at it. And you know, you just keep trying. You work harder, and you keep working harder. Anybody can make it. To look at somebody and say, you need help to get this job. You need help to get into school. It's saying you're too stupid because your skin is black. Hello? No human being is too stupid to make it, to get ahead, to do anything, because God created every human being with talents and skills. We just have to work hard at it. If you're having a hard time getting into college, you have to keep working at it, keep trying. If you have to get a job in the meantime until you can finally get into that college, just keep working at it. If you have to go to the bookstore and buy every kind of book you can, for this for that for dummies, that for dummies, we've all had to do it. I've got a stack of this for dummies books on my shelf. Hey, you know, and if what is wrong with going into a job interview and saying, look, I've got this skill and that skill. I'm a really hard worker. I really want this job. Please give me a chance. I can work my way up. You know, I'll start at whatever position. Why do you have to be told by a law, you don't want to start at the bottom and work your way up? Let us just push you ahead. It doesn't matter if you don't know how to do it. We'll just push you ahead. That disables the person, because if they get into college and they don't have the skill and they're put into these classes and they start failing, how is that fair? If you're
exactly.
if you're given
then,
a job where you don't have the skills and you fail at that job, how is that fair? I don't want equality in pay because
I want people to be paid based upon merit. And I think this has done nothing but give Democrats and big governments, you know, a foothold to talk about, you know, oh, we're going to let this person in based on gender bias or whatever it is or racial discrimination, but it's not on merit. And Curtis, I'm going to let you, because we only have just a few minutes before we got to close up, and then Charles will let you close out.
Well, what I always find interesting about the discussion of affirmative action as it relates to college entrance exams and what have you is that the effect that it has on Asian Americans. Asian Americans excel in the classroom, and so they are overrepresented compared to their percentage of the American population. But that's what they do. They perform very well in the classroom. Now, when I watch an NBA game, I expect to see the best players in the world. And just as there's a reason that Asian Americans are overrepresented on the college campuses, there's also a reason why they are underrepresented in the NBA. They're great in the classroom. They're not very good on the basketball court.
Now, let's think about how that would change sporting events if all of a sudden we had affirmative action and we had to, you know, let people in based upon all these other criteria. I mean, it could really, really mess up sports as we know it. So we should apply that. We should apply that across the board. And Charles, we only got about a minute,
okay.
And so tell us what you think as far as this. You know, I think affirmative action has done nothing positive.
Look, Curtis is such a racist for pointing that out. Oh my goodness, blacks do good on
you're
the
racist.
Basketball court.
Of course,
Asians,
he's from Arizona.
Asians do good in the classroom. What kind of you know, Curtis? And of course, I'm being facetious, but you know that's how the left. That's how the left portrays it. Facts, inconvenient facts, are somehow racism. And it's somehow racist to bring up the fact that the majority of the players in the NBA are black and the majority of engineers in the engineering program are Asian. I mean, okay, you know, I have my best friend, he's black. He's got a PhD in electrical engineering. Guess how many black people were in his PhD classes? He was the only one, just him, right? Okay.
There you go.
So, but you know, that's him. Me, you know, I don't need affirmative action to give me a helping hand into the engineering department. Why? Because I'm, you know, like Lisa, I wasn't good in math. So guess what? I identified that early on and took my education in a different direction because that's not my strong.
Right.
pursuit, right? I'm a speaker. I'm a writer, so I need to get into journalism and
There you go. And that's something that all Lisa, you, and Charles and myself have in common, because I was terrible in math. And, guys, we're out of time. Very quickly, let's go roll call. We'll start with you, Charles. Let's tell everybody where they can follow us. Charles, Lisa, Curtis, and we got about 45 seconds here.
Yes, KWAM990, KWAM990.com, every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time, straight down the line with Charlotte Charles.
There you go. Okay, Lisa.
Okay, Lisa Richards, Rock and Roll Politics. That is my website. It's a WordPress website, so Lisa Richards, Rock and Roll Politics, .wordpress.com. And all of my last columns have basically been about Easter. Why do I believe in Jesus? Jesus' tomb is empty. Muhammad's grave is full of bones, different things like that. So just a different commentary. I go from articles to commentary, different stuff, politics, religion, whatever's on my mind.
All right. And Curtis, tell people where they can find you.
I go to my website, which is mangwrites.com, MANGWRITES, where my books are available. They're also available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
All right. You can always find me on Conservative Nation Media Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 p.m. Central Time. Thank you so much for listening this evening to Graceland. And until next time, folks, good night.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your house.